Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat about God's never-ending faithfulness. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Well, here we are, the first episode of my new podcast, A New Adventure, A New Thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43:19. Man, that strikes a chord in my heart, one that God has been strumming on for 16 years in my life since we first started Grace in the Wilderness Ministries. I'm Sharon Hawkins, and I'm going to share a little bit of my story with you. I was blessed before I was ever born because I was born to Christian parents, and they took me to church. And on one sunny Sunday morning when I was 9 years old, Pastor Robert Orr told me that I couldn't do anything good to get me into heaven on my own. He said I needed a Savior, and that God loved me so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die just for me and to pay the price for my sins so I could go to heaven. And all I had to do was accept His precious gift and ask Him to come into my heart. I was terrified. I said, God, I'm too scared to go down there. And I bargained with Him to please give me till tonight, until we could return to church. My mama mentioned not going back to church that afternoon, and I told her, we got to go, Mom. I'm sure she wondered, what in the world has come over her? We went back to church that night, and I know I didn't hear a word the preacher said. I wanted him to be quiet so I could get down to that altar and give my heart and life to Jesus. He talked with me, and I did give my heart and life to Jesus. Then He told the church of my decision, and He sent me down to the front pew where my sweet, humble daddy was sitting there with the other deacons on the front row. That was when all the men used to sit up front. I hopped onto Daddy's knee, and he burst into tears. I then knew I had made a wonderful decision, and looking back, I really had no idea how truly amazing it was going to be to walk with Jesus as the Lord of my life until it happened to me. At 19, I married a man who was both physically and emotionally abusive to me, and by God's grace, I got out of that marriage after 8 years before becoming completely destroyed. I was mad at God for a few years after that. I was doing all the right things. We were in church. I was praying for my marriage, but it still failed. After 3 years, I woke up, and I was remarried to the most wonderful man in the world, Scott Hawkins, and we had a beautiful baby boy, Taylor. I realized that God had been faithful to me when I wasn't faithful to Him, and I came back to my first love. I came back to Jesus, who gently tapped on the door of my heart that day when I was 9 years old, and He humbly asked if He could come in. That's so like Him, not to come in like a freight train, but to ask gently in a quiet voice, can I come be Lord of your life? I'm so glad I said yes. It's the most important decision I've ever made. When Taylor was little, I started a business, an insurance administration company that I began out of my house. We struggled for 4 years with infertility as we wanted another child, and I begged God to either take that desire from me or to give us a child. So He led us to international adoption. In 2001, right after 9/11, we flew to Ukraine to adopt our precious Bradley. He was a 15-month-old boy who had been abandoned by his mom in the orphanage there in Kharkov. He had emotional struggles because he wasn't held and loved as he should have been during those first 15 months of his life. I would feed him and he would refuse to eat, and I would turn around later after I'd put him down and find that he was looking for crumbs on the floor. He had trouble trusting because he had been rejected so much. We loved our son, and during those years worked so hard to pour love on him like Niagara Falls, to try to help him to accept love and give love. In 2002, my business partner was leaving, and I was struggling with being rejected by our new son and really trying to get him adjusted. So I went to the loneliest place. I had an emotional breakdown. I was emptied so that God could fill me and carry me out of that pit. And boy, did He. Looking back, I know He was preparing me for the path to come. In 2004, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, then colon cancer. My dad had suffered from Parkinson's since 1988, and my brother and I helped to take care of both of them until they both passed. In 2005, I found out that my employee had stolen $75,000 from my business, and it took us a year to clean up that mess that was made by that. Mom's cancer spread to her lungs. Then in March of 2008, she passed away. After she died, I was at one of the lowest places in my life, a place and time when God did some amazing things. He led me to start a women's ministry called Grace in the Wilderness. It was not what I was expecting at all. It was during a time when I was grieving Mom's death, taking care of my dad who had Parkinson's and who was grieving his wife. I was raising with Scott a special needs child and was running a high-stress company that was working me way more than 40 hours a week. I attended a conference in Charlotte, North Carolina for Proverbs 31 ministry called She Speaks. And during that conference, God spoke to me in some incredible ways. I went seeking answers and a break from all the struggles that I was dealing with. I will never forget coming home that Sunday and sitting on our bed, and I told my husband, "I know that you thought I would come back refreshed, but I have to tell you that God's doing something amazing, and He wants us to start a women's ministry called Grace in the Wilderness." My sweet husband looked at me, and he said, "Well, if He's called us to it, then I know that He'll give us what we need." And through all the years of Grace in the Wilderness, Scott has been right there by my side. And I can't imagine doing it without him. Marie Pritchett joined me in the ministry, and one of the very first conferences that we did was for bereaved moms. There are many other support groups now, including one for widows, cancer patients, caregivers, ministries for women and teen girls. Our Empowered Jesus Girl group is one of our biggest. There are support groups for all of these ministries, and over 16 years, there have been 45 conferences. That's all God. He's worked amazingly through Grace in the Wilderness. Just because I started the ministry didn't mean that my struggles became easier. Along with other challenges I mentioned, 2011 was a year of deep struggle for me. In June of that year, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and had double mastectomies. In a 4-week period in November of 2011, I had my third painful breast surgery. I was diagnosed with melanoma, and my best friend, who worked for me in my business for 12 years, was sent to federal prison for embezzling over $600,000 from me and my company. The breast cancer and surgeries left me with a debilitating nerve pain illness that causes me to hurt still every day of my life. In 2016, my dad passed away. Parkinson's is such a cruel disease. After his swallowing shut down, my brother and I had to basically watch him starve. It was one of the most painful things I've ever experienced in my life. I'm so thankful that my mom and dad both are free from their suffering, and now they live in eternal bliss in heaven with Jesus and each other. You know, I've had talks with the Lord about all this. I've asked, "Lord, I know you've called me to minister to women who are hurting, but do all these things have to happen to me?" I remember in the shower one night just whining to God. You know, it's a great place to cry in the shower because the water just washes your tears away. I was quickly reminded that I hadn't lost a child. And to me, that is the worst thing that can happen. And many of my friends had lost children, and I was working in ministry with them and seeing how they suffered and struggled. Well, on November 10th, 2021, the worst thing did happen to us. Our 21-year-old son, Bradley, died. Bradley was my baby. I loved his big bear hugs that just covered me. I know in heaven now, he has a new body. I'm so hoping that his hugs still feel the same for the day that I'm reunited with him in heaven. I loved him so deeply, and my heart is shattered in a million pieces, knowing I have to now try to live in a world where there is no Bradley. Bradley has the most beautiful story of victory. I can't wait to share more about that with you in future episodes. Let's just say for now that we all expect for our children to carry our legacies, but I find myself now carrying his. Why am I telling you all of this? Am I just wanting to tell you some sad stories? Well, life is sad and life is hard. But what I want to share with you more than anything else is that the hope and grace of God that can be found in the hardest trials. Through hardships and trials and blessings, I have learned that there is no end to God's mercy, His grace, or His faithfulness. There is simply no better friend than Jesus. There have been days when I simply could not go on without Him. I couldn't even get out of bed without Him. My story is His story. His story is why I felt led to start this podcast. Through many years in ministry, I have seen Him work in ways that could only be explained as miraculous grace. For 14 years before Bradley passed away, I worked in a ministry for bereaved women, moms who'd lost their children. I always looked at them in awe and wondered how they made it, how they had these beautiful smiles, how they went on. Then, when I lost my son, I realized that God gives us an extra abundance of grace. He gives us what we need, and we can't get grace for other people. It's like manna. It's only for us and only for today. But it's enough. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.' Oh, how I wish His power would rest on me every day of my life. There have been so many days, especially since losing Bradley, that I felt I couldn't go on. But if I could just get to the night and get through the night, somehow the next day was always better." Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I've seen it, I've experienced it, and I want to share it with anyone who will listen. Now there is this new thing He has put before me, a podcast. I could offer you a lot of excuses for why this podcast has not happened until now. Health challenges, life challenges, time management challenges, mostly wilderness challenges. The truth is, life is one big, fat, overwhelming challenge, isn't it? I know you already know this. It's not that I've not been obedient exactly. I've spent a lot of time hiding out in busyness, getting ready to get ready. There's also been a little fear sprinkled in there, too. And when we're afraid, we hide, don't we? Is there something that God is calling you to do? Is He doing a new thing in your life, too? Maybe it's time to step out and say, "Here I am, Lord. My answer is yes." I don't know much about podcasting. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm working really hard at it. God knows all about it, and I'm trusting in Him to help me with it. I finally discovered two things: that I will never start unless getting started becomes more important than getting ready, that the only way it will happen is to get started. Most importantly, even at the risk of failing, I absolutely owe it to God to do what He asked me to do. He is faithful, and He goes before us when we step out for Him. He has been there for me. When it came time for the children of Israel to carry the Ark of the Covenant across the Jordan River, the Lord gave instructions. Joshua 3:7 through 8 says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that you may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river.'" Then in verse 13, "As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." Yes, the Lord went before the children of Israel. But if the priests had not put their feet in the Jordan, God would not have stopped the waters. He's going before us too. We have to take that first step though. Are you ready? What is it that He's leading you to do? Take that first step in faith. "Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you until it overflows." Malachi 3:10. God has been more than faithful to me always, and I want to be faithful to Him. God has promised that He will even make a way in the wilderness, and He has definitely done that in my life. There have been so many trials in my life that He has brought me through, and I'm sure there'll be more to come. I'll be sharing more about our adventures in future issues. It's time for me to make a way for Him and to step out with this new thing He's calling me to do. So into the water I go. Welcome to my new podcast. I plan to share a new episode every Monday night at 8. Once a month, I plan to interview a special guest who has experienced God's amazing grace in the wilderness and will share how God is bringing them through. Now, what about you? What's that thing God's calling you to do? Today is the day. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Dear Lord, help us to step out in new resolve for You. May we never forget that You make a way for us and that Your grace is sufficient always. Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. Please like and subscribe to support the growth of the ministry and so you don't miss a single episode. Check out SharonHawkins.net for show notes, or to contact me about speaking engagements, or find out more information about how to support Grace in the Wilderness Ministries. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. See you here next week.